Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Third and six at the Houston 48. Here's the snap to Goff. Goff with time over the middle. Got a man, St. Brown, and he's down to the 37-yard line, tagged by Aziz with 1:33 to go.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That was a crucial, critical third down on that very last drive for the Lions. Allowed them to keep the drive going and ultimately allowed Jake Bates to knock down a big-time game
winning field goal. Former Texan, right?
He was in camp last year.
Yeah. Knocks down a field goal and wins the game for the Detroit Lions 26-23. But on that play, and I believe that this is one, but there might be another one some folks are talking about. I heard a lot of people saying, how in the you know what?
You heard me saying it.
Oh, it was you. That's right. So I heard John Lopez saying, how in the you know what?
Yeah.
Do you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, probably the most dangerous wide receiver that that team has, lined up on a linebacker, Aziz Alshire, right? Aziz probably, I think I would position him as the best coverage linebacker that you have.
Certainly the fastest,
but
you know,
still,
in that environment.
But still, on a linebacker nonetheless.
You don't win against Amon-Ra St. Brown.
We were looking at this a couple breaks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I went, pulled it up. And one of the things, first of all, that I remembered and that was front of mind for me is this is where the lack of depth cornerback-wise shows up. In that game, remember, Kamari Lassiter leaves with a concussion. And at that point, I turned to Patrick Creighton and Sean Bajani at Area 45. You'll hear them tomorrow because we got Monday Night Football tonight on Sports Radio 610. But I turned to them fine fellas and I was like, so who comes in now for cornerback? Yeah. And I pull up that sheet that got all the names on and I'm like, I believe it's Kadar Holman.
It was.
And Kadar Holman is who comes in. But then you think about it, and outside of that, who do you have to cover? Like, you don't have a dime package.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have, it was four wide. Right? Actually, it might have been empty in that situation, but it was three to that side.
Yeah.
Where the outside receiver is being covered by Stingley. The second receiver in is being covered by Jalen Petrie, who you already have some level of, I don't know, concerns about when it comes to coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And then that third receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot, is being covered up by Aziz Alshire. And then it's a well-worked play as well. And so that one, it felt like, okay, I understand this shows up because of a lack of depth, but then also this was just a fantastic play by the other offense coordinator and Ben Johnson recognizing what is happening with the personnel of the Houston Texans and drawing up a play with the positioning and with the route combination that creates a giant gap and an easy throw for Jared Goff to continue to move the sticks in a very vital point. And that was something that was very evident in that game, that Ben Johnson was doing that at a high level and then Bobby Sloak was.
Look, you have to recognize, and you can't ignore and minimize, as you put it, the Texans just didn't have the bodies, man. They just didn't have the bodies to cover that type of thing. But that being said, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the one that ends up on a linebacker. That's how you adapt. In a third, in a must, you know, that will say it in football. Gotta have it.
Gotta have it.
In a gotta have it moment, you end up with Al Shire. Now, first of all, credit to Ben Johnson, you know, because somehow, some way, they manipulated in such a way where it was Al Shire. How, though, is still my question. How does that happen is still my question. You know, because I get it. And by the way, I didn't get to this one on the passing thoughts. I thought that was Jalen Petrie's greatest game of his career. That was the best game of his career. Running, pressure, you know, tip the ball for the interception, decent coverage. That was the best game. So he's having the best game of his life. How does it end up that with all these options, it's a linebacker on their best receiver, on the best receiver on the field?
I think the combination, as I put forward, a combination of limited personnel is one of those things that we were talking about. Cornerback room, man, not having that depth. Mm-hmm. Limited personnel. And some of the depth issues also. Don't forget, Jeff Okudah, who was activated from IR this time last week, mm-hmm. was ruled out on Saturday, and then he's not there. That's one of the cornerbacks that you would have had available to you to maybe utilize in that situation. And maybe not, right? Because I don't know that we've seen this Texans team defensively mm-hmm. want to use a lot of these additional cornerbacks. But you would have at least had the option of having an extra cornerback. Then you lose Kamari. I think you didn't have, you know, the personnel. And then in addition to it, I think it was just great scheme by the Lions there. And you mentioned Jalen Petrie. So you want to do a little who hooped real quick? Because I think there's some players that absolutely deserved a level of shout out.
There was some
when it
hoopers.
Comes to the play. And we could start with Jalen Petrie. Like, I just keep coming back to if he was a linebacker, he had maybe another 10, 15 pounds, 20 pounds, was a linebacker, he'd be a real good one. Because when he can play downhill, he is so good.
He was, again, I thought that was his best game. I thought even in coverage, especially in the first half, he was really helping. But his instincts pressuring, coming off the edge, rattling Jared Goff. And you know, the Lions came through and obviously won the game and had some moments in the second half. Jared Goff still only completed 50% of his passes. And so that was Petrie in large part with the pressure, with the coverage. He absolutely redeemed himself for anything. I mean, he's found a place on this squad. And especially against run-heavy teams, that's when he really eats. You know, against a team like the Lions, Petrie, that's perfect for Petrie. You know, he's a guy that can do that. I thought, as much as we're talking about, you know, Al Shire and how did that happen, that wasn't his fault. He got put in that position. I thought he hooped. I thought he was playing his ass off for the most part.
Yeah, you absolutely saw what Azeez Al Shire brings mm-hmm. in his return to this team, man. Like, coming downhill, there was one of those plays where I think it was Jahmyr Gibbs. He's lined up in he's linebacker. Across the line mm-hmm. is Jahmyr Gibbs in that single back formation. And they go wide to the left, right, the Lions do, and he matches that man step for step, meets him at the sideline and for a tackle.
One-yard gain, right?
If that. And I'm just like, dude, the explosion, the ability to read and react, Azeez Al Shire is just like, that's the reason you brought him in. You see it, it's very evident. And I think that I think that you could see early on in this game, the entirety of the defense deserves a level of credit for this because you could see the message was landing.
Yeah.
Remember, what was the big thing that D'Amico Ryans talked about after last week in leading up to it was tackling. Mm-hmm. And you could tell, especially when it comes to his baby on the defense, when there's something that is a point of emphasis, man, it lands, and I have a strong feeling that Azeez is one of the reasons that it helps land because that dude is the soul of that defense, and they all respect him so much. And I think that's why you saw that first half, the defense looked lights out in stifling the Lions defense. So I didn't want to give Azeez a lot of love.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody else? I got a couple.
Okay, go for it.
The ball finds Kalen Bullock.
Yeah.
It just, he didn't play a lot. He was only in on like 60% of the defensive snaps because it was one of those.
I don't even think I checked the snap count. Because
it was one of those against the Lions who are going to try to pound the ball on you. It was more of a Jalen Petrie game than a Kalen Bullock game. But he did come in passing situations and snagged one of those five interceptions. I shouldn't necessarily say the ball finds Kalen Bullock. It kind of found everybody last night. but he just always seems to make a play.
Yeah, because Kamari had two of them himself. Yeah. Like, and Kamari deserved a level of credit. And again, I think that there was a level of drop down. But funny enough, there was a level of drop down in the ability to stop the run when Kamari Lassiter was all out of the game. So I don't know how much of that was like causation. I don't want to go that far. But
like Fatakasi being out of the game affected
that's also
that.
Yeah, 100%. Let's see who else did you want to show
John Metchie,
love to?
Man, let's not bury the lead here.
I was waiting for you to call his
name. That
man.
Dell stock is boy. I could have made a mint.
Business is booming.
I could have made a mint. Business is not booming. It's the exact opposite of booming.
Well, for you,
the moment that I'm like, all right, it ain't gonna happen with John Metchie. Looks like freaking. Who did he look like last night? What's a good example? He was just inside, outside, yards after catch.
Yeah.
First touchdown of his career.
Yes, first touchdown of his career.
Of his career, really?
Of his career. Yes, sir.
Yes. And a hell of a catch at that. I mean, that could have easily been like knocked away. I mean, there was four hands on the ball there.
Twitch posits looked like Tyler Lockett, maybe, in that game, John Metchie. And that was one of the things that I also enjoyed. Like, a lot of separation for Metchie, right? Metchie, Dell had some good separation. Although at one point in the game, I sitting next to Sean Bajani, who I know used to coach wide receivers at one point in his high school coaching days, he pointed to Xavier Hutchinson, who did not have as much separation. There was one of those plays where it was kind of over the middle, right? He was over the middle. It was like one of those kind of skinny post type situations. And he doesn't, he rounds the route out and it's able to kind of be undercut. And it's like, hey, man, that route wasn't clean. And I need to go back and see just how many of these routes were clean, particularly Hutchinson, Dell, Metchie, kind of look at all those. Because I have a sneaking suspicion that Metchie's running some good routes.
Yeah.
And that absolutely helped out with all of this. But, I mean, you saw a level of familiarity with Metchie and C.J. Stroud that was real comforting early on.
It's easy to say when you see him with the yards after catch, but still – there was a burst there that, I was like, okay, all right. He flat out balled. I thought he was the best.
It seemed like it was a level of trust CJ ended up getting with Metchie, too.
100%.
It's just like, okay, he's looking for Metchie now.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Jared Patterson, the man who we were anticipating would come back and save the offensive line, even though I know D'Amico Ryan says like no one player's coming in to save, right? You have to come through and handle your assignments and play better. But Jared Patterson early on in this game handling the center duties with the little shuffle sending Juice Scrubs to left guard.
Yeah.
It felt like they're, and I don't know, maybe this is just one of those things where you perceive it to be the case because you're looking for it, but it did feel like they picked up a lot more of the blitzes and those types of things in this game with Jared Patterson kind of calling these things out at center. I do wonder if that is the step up that was necessary in trying to get the communication right for this offensive line.
I'm sure you can see it in my face. I'm sort of like pausing.
Yeah,
on
you
that.
Look like you need to use the restroom.
No, I'm good. Okay. Well, let me make sure. Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
No, I'm pausing on that because I feel like much like the Larry and Stafford call, we're kind of grading on a curve here because all together you have to say that was a good move, especially in the first half. But dude, McNeil, eight. That was another dude that was just a monster.
He was just greedy at this point, man.
It was just, five solo tackles, two tackles for loss, a sack, another quarterback hit, six assists, and that's right over Jared Patterson and Juice Scruggs.
Hey, I'm never this type of person. I was actually happy when he got hurt. 11 time, man. Like, goodness gracious.
So you see what I'm saying? We're kind of like, yes, but we're really grading on a curve with that.
Now, I did mention Hutchinson, but did you also kind of like just slide away from that third down that they tried to convert to Hutchinson over the middle, that Terry and Arnold, who had already had a pass interference, he had a majority of the penalty yards that the Lions had off that one big pass interference where he just panicked. It seemed like he had another panic moment that did not get called. Like, did that irk you, or did that just feel like
I think Anzalone saved his ass. I think the fact that Anzalone came through and knocked the ball is like almost
before it got there.
Like almost everything after that was inconsequential. And by the way, you know, the Texans got away with a club to the face on Jared Goff as well.
Yeah,
that should have been a penalty. So we can talk about. I don't want to do that. Yeah, we can talk. I think Anzalone getting that ball was like, all right, great play. That's what the referee saw. You know?
And it did not feel like a great. I felt like CJ held it a little long if he was going to try and fit it into that window, which it did not feel like that was one that was going to make. As you mentioned, Anzalone got in there. He was able to break it up fairly handily, to be completely
great
honest.
Yeah.
It felt like in a game like that where you had such a commanding lead, a 16-point lead at one point, right, that it should not be that we're calling out, oh, you missed a play or a pass interference, rather, and that's the reason why you lost.
Totally,
I'm not going to go that far by any stretch of the imagination. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. You want to go to this phone call here?
Yeah, let's go real quick.
All right, Hector on the phone line. What's happening, man?
Yes, good morning. Listen, why is no one asking a question why DeMeco didn't go for it on fourth down? You know, had he even made that field goal, which I knew he was going to make, it was too far. The consistency is not there with him. But there would have been too much time. He would have been in the exact same position. That's an area where DeMeco failed us there. He should have just gone over Bobby Slowick or whoever called those plays and said, look, we're going for it. And the reason why? The Detroit Lions coach would have done the exact same thing. He would have gone for it, given the same situation.
No, I thought we have mentioned it.
But yeah, we can mention it again. Appreciate you, Hector.
About it again. I think that's valid, if for no other reason than his point about if you don't get it, they're still getting the ball there.
Same spot.
Yeah. Same spot. And that offense was rolling. I would understand that the offense wasn't really doing nothing and the field goal would be just fine, but that offense was rolling.
No, that's
a
fair Hector.
Yeah, they wouldn't have went down and got a touchdown.
That's more than fair. But I still think, and it maybe speaks to your point, they're like, hey, we trust
Kaimi. That's a lot of trust.
We trust Kaimi. Maybe too much at this point.
58, it's a lot. And the execution on that particular field goal was a little off. I know that Weeks had...
How about Weeks was a high snap? Man, What's going on?
I didn't even know that it was high.
It was
in.
It wasn't necessarily too high. It was up.
I ain't want to bring this.
Yeah. I didn't
come
either.
On, but I mean, I think the play kind of, I mean, you know, the ball gets down. And then I do wonder if, you know, kind of just seeing the execution kind of be a little off put Kaimi in a place where that allowed him to hook it because he was just coming in at the wrong angle. But I can't speak enough to that execution to be able to get to all those
things.
I'm
not blaming John Weeks, man. I'm blaming Kaimi on this one.
Look, I'm looking at it right now. It was over Townsend's head. He had to go over his head to catch it and bring it down. Watch the snap.
It's in towards his chest, I think. But yeah, still.
Hey, we're just being apologetic. Damn,
still.
Yeah. We're apologizing.
Nah, we ain't doing that.
No, I love the man. And I didn't. It hurts me, Figgy. It hurts me more than it hurts you.
And why you bring it up, man? Doesn't.
Because it was a high snap.
A lot of people do high snaps and still make field goals.
Figgy's just going down.
Man, we ain't
going
doing
down
this.
With the ship.
Yeah, we
it was.
Ain't doing
look at
this.
It. Watch the replay. It was up here.
It's a bunch of people that make high snaps and make a field goal,
Figgy's
man.
Figgy's gonna
strike. Yeah, he's like, it don't matter. You got one job. You a kicker.
Take John Weeks.
You want to crown him?
Take John Weeks' name out of your mouth.
I think maybe the biggest indictment for me is that you get a fourth and four yards in a situation like that where Hector is right. It probably behooves you to go for it. And I don't know how confident I was that they would pick up that four. Especially knowing that they couldn't run the football at all.
I mean,
and at that point, CJ Stroud was almost guaranteed to be pressured.
Yes.
Like, those are the things that are really disheartening. It's not just the idea that they didn't go, but I don't know how much confidence I had. In fact, let us know. 713-572-4610 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Real quick, just you could give us a yes or a no. What did you have belief that if the Texans had gone for it on that 4th-and-4 that they would have gotten it? All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the Rockets getting a victory over Detroit on a Sunday. We'll do that next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.